Okay, good morning and welcome to Kingdom School. We're going to talk today about part two on prayer. And in this class, I am asking that there be lots of sharing. There's three different types of prayer I want to talk about. It's the prayer of petition, the prayer of supplication, and intercession. And I wanted to just, one of the things as I was going through my notes, I noticed that when I was looking into the Eastern religions, that they refer to prayer as the way of the gods. And for us as Christians, prayer is our way to God. So no matter who you are on the face of this earth, like I said last week, everybody wants to make a divine connection to their Creator. And this is to our advantage as Christians when we go out into the marketplace and we deal with people of other religions, when we go out to the missions field. No matter where we are, we have this opportunity to connect with the gold, as Pastor Charlie said last week. So no matter what type of prayers we pray, but when they come from a heart that seeks the Father, His timing is perfect. Romans 8:28, He works all things together for our good. So He knows our hearts and He will answer our prayers. One of the things I was thinking about, the way we pray, it's from a heavenly perspective. We are seated in the heavens with Jesus Christ. So our prayer shouldn't be focused around our circumstances, but rather how the Lord sees what we're going through. And He knows what we're going through. So we pray with a heavenly perspective. And this is what differentiates us from prayers of other cultures and religions. So we might be in the midst of a mess, but when we look up, we can see over our circumstances. We see from God's perspective. So the first type of prayer I want to talk about is the prayer of petition. And it means a formal written request made to an official person, court, or body as a board. So who can someone read for me Luke 18, verses 1 through 8?
Then He spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. What verse did we learn
to? 1 through 8.
Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the judge said, hear what the unjust, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?
So we see this petition is something that's brought before an authority. How many of us have petitioned the judge of the earth? How many of us have written out a petition? He's saying that men always ought to pray. And we cry out day and night. So how many of us have experienced that and recognized it as a petition that we're coming before the judge?
Well, is that not basically how our judicial system is set up? Mm-hmm. You write it out, you petition.
Exactly.
It does say, I don't remember where it is, where He wrote it out and laid it before the Lord what he needed.
Mm-hmm.
The Old Testament was a king.
I don't remember who.
But
wrote the vision out, made it plain.
He wrote out
his
what
petition.
He needed. And laid it. He took it into the temple and laid it before the Lord. I have to say, I probably haven't written it out.
Mm-hmm.
But all of us have been in situations where we've cried to him.
Yeah.
You don't know the Lord very long if you haven't done that.
Right.
A lot of people say you should just pray it once because the Lord heard.
Right.
But this says the opposite.
Right. Right.
Welcome.
What I wanted to... What differentiates this from supplication or any other kind of prayer is that it is before a higher authority. It's before a judge. It's like Esther, who petitioned the king, and a decree was made, and things were changed. Or when Anna went to the temple and petitioned the Lord for a child. She had been barren. And Eli, the priest, agreed with her. And she said, yes, may the Lord grant you your petition. And so then, therefore, she ended up with a child whom she, you know, dedicated to the Lord.
But so, isn't Jesus the ultimate judge?
Absolutely.
So if you go to him, it's the same thing, aren't you saying? But you're saying
in a sense, see, the thing is there's so many different types of prayer. My thing with this is to bring some clarity to the different types of prayer in the Bible so that we are more knowledgeable about how we are approaching the Lord. When you approach the Lord in intercession, it's different than in a petition, or it's different with supplication, or it's different with reconciliation prayers or redemptive prayers, or praying for the lost is not the same as praying for somebody that's saved. You don't use the same scriptures because they're, you know, they may be applicable down the road, but they're not applicable right away. So it's just bringing clarity to the different types of prayer that the Bible shows us. But yes, ultimately, of course, we're praying to the Lord. He is the great intercessor, and we're bringing our prayers before God. But, you know, my thought in this class was I wanted to show you that there are very particular differences between the types of prayer we pray. And when we have understanding of the prayers we are praying brings us into a greater understanding of what the enemy, how he operates, because he operates differently on every single kind of prayer. So it's to become more aware of your authority and executing the word of God. That's what I'm saying.
So what can you give us an example of an authority in this instance? Like what would be an authority that you would bring a prayer to? Like a pastor or?
No. I'm talking about petition in the sense that you're petitioning the Lord.
Okay.
Yeah, he's giving this as an example that here's this woman that's petitioning an unjust judge. How much more when we petition the just judge? But he's also saying that sometimes we lose our stamina in prayer, and the Lord is encouraging us to pray all the time. And that's the thing, is that what I was talking about last week, it's the conversation. It's a conversation that goes on all day long because the Lord is with you all day long. You don't have to ask for him to join you. You wake up in his presence because he's here.
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm probably younger than everybody here, but I've always
been told, even as a, you know, I'm from different backgrounds, I'm from different that sometimes you pray and forget it. But that, you talking about the story with the unjust judge and the lady who she wanted him to avenge of her adversaries. And so what she did, she kept going before him and kept going before him. So off of what I've heard you say and off of that scripture, are we supposed to continue to bombard heaven with our prayers until we get our answer? Or, as some people say, you just say, pray one time and just kind of forget about it and let God handle it? I'm just asking.
I think that that is an individual situation. I believe that the Lord will, you gave the example yourself last week of how your mother prayed for you and then the Lord told her to stop. So I think that it's an individual situation and you pursue it until the Lord says that's done, until your bowl is full. And then after that, it's, you know, it's Romans 8:28. God is going to work it out whenever he wants in his timing.
I agree. That's what I believe. So I agree with you. Yeah. I'm just wondering. I don't know. Everybody had different theories on it.
So go ahead.
Yeah, I had a situation Friday morning where I woke up and was faced with some things right out of the gate. And I was looking at it and I, you know, God used me to expose some things and some people, and to expose some truth that wasn't being exposed. But after I got done with it, it didn't feel really good.
Yeah.
And I was really praying, and I said, God, what am I missing here? And he said, you don't know how to pray for your enemies well enough. And he said, and as you start to pray for them, and as you start to intercede for them, he said, what are they doing? And I said, stuff they don't have any idea about. He's like, right. So they don't even know what they're doing. He said, on the cross, I said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
Right.
He said, and until you pray for them, the breakthroughs you've been looking for, I'm going to hold those back from you, because you're not praying for the people that need it the most.
Right.
And it really changed my prayer. And it changed my mindset. It shifted me. It humbled me. For sure.
Yes.
And I said, okay, I said, now I understand why I don't. And God said, any fool can expose somebody. That's what he said to me. He said, any fool can expose somebody. He said,
right.
He said, only a wise man that loves me can pray for them when they just exposed.
Yeah.
And it brought me to tears. I mean, it was it was really humbling to see that. But it's like what you were talking about. You know, we really have to be led by him in our prayers.
Absolutely.
And how to pray. And who to pray for.
Yes,
yes. Just to preface this question, what's really nice about training and teaching is when you get the people to ask questions, and I want to let you know that it's not asking, saying you're wrong or anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's because when there's a lot of questions, there's a lot of unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And people are searching for the truth.
Right.
So would this be just like, would you be using this type of a prayer when you're going into the court systems of heaven?
Yes. Uh-huh. You would. And yes, you would.
Okay.
Yeah, it's something, the word Moses and Aaron, when they appealed to Pharaoh, who was the legal authority on behalf of the people, they petitioned him to let God's people go. That's another example of a prayer of petition.
Okay.
I thought it was interesting. I love Psalm 149. This is something that was before the cross, and yet David had such a complete picture of the revelation of the Savior. It's amazing. It was very strange wording, you know, that the saints would rest on their beds and execute the judgments written, God's judgments, execute them in the earth. And that's what Jesus is after when he says, our Father who art in heaven, pray this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I think in every situation, that's what he's wanting. And I think that's why he says, you know, when the Son of Man come, will he find faith? I mean, because people just really, they don't pray. They really don't pray. I want to read this thing that Ron Culver sent me this week. It's by Leonard Ravenhill. It says, Okay. As a leader in the body of Christ, I absolutely refuse to define success among a community of believers outside the context of attendance at corporate prayer meetings. The early church in the book of Acts was birthed from a corporate prayer meeting and also sustained by corporate prayer meetings. In the words of Leonard Ravenhill, Sunday morning church attendance shows how popular the church is. Sunday night shows how popular the preacher is, and attendance at prayer meetings shows how popular God is.
That's good.
Yeah. So he says, so long as prayer rooms are empty during the week while Sunday morning services are filled, we will never have a third great awakening in America. Corporate prayer within the body of Christ is what is going to birth this next move of God. Everybody wants revival, but nobody wants to pray. And then his declaration is, let the corporate prayer meeting arise. So, you know, I love prayer.
Just a real quick story.
Yes.
Kathy and I were looking for a church to go to before, a couple years ago. And we're driving up, and it was on the off night, it was supposed to be prayer. So we drove up to this church, and the parking lot was full.
Yeah.
And we looked at each other, we went, yes! Found a church that believes in prayer. We go in, we find the prayer room, and there's like five people.
Oh.
We went. It was their Christmas pageant.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Remember that.
So I just want to, you know, the flip side of all of this is all gods are petitioned, which we talked about a little bit last week. Satan and his demons love answering prayers. They love it. And the thing is, our God loves it, but we have to spend time petitioning him.
That's right.
You know, we have this incredible opportunity, so we need to take advantage of it. So I want to talk about what is intercession? We talked a little bit about last week that it's impinging on something, like, you know, the guy hitting the wood with karate, you know, to impinge. But it's a prayer on behalf of another, not merely prompted by affection or interest, which is what you would be talking about, Brad, praying for your enemies. It's not really your greatest interest, but
no.
we're commanded to pray for our enemies. But recognizing that God's relation to man is not merely individual, but it's social. So we have to get the scope that he's concerned not just about us, but he's concerned about our community, our church, the world. And
created in his image.
Yes,
he loves
everybody. That's right. And it could be a spontaneous affectionate prayer to God on behalf of another, but it could also be something that happens over and over and over and over again, almost like petitioning him, and to stand in the gap. It's standing in the gap for people. So I want to ask you, tell me, have you ever felt as if you have experienced intercession in that regard, to stand in the gap for somebody else? Has anything ever, happened? Have you seen the fruit of it?
I have.
Okay.
I'll try to be brief. Yeah, I was to stay in Atlanta. Actually, it was where was my girlfriend? It was in Marietta, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta. And my girlfriend stayed right down the road from the Clement Glenn Mall, anyways. And so I went to her house one day. I was in college. She was working, and something crazy happened. The door opened up, and her apartment just opened up on its own. Then her bedroom door opened up. She started hollering and screaming. I said, "What have you done?" And she said, "Don't you see it?" I said, "I see absolutely nothing." And then she said, "Don't you see the chains?" I said, "Chains? Look, I see nothing. I feel something." And the room started feeling different. But she said, "Don't you see it?" And the Lord said, "Pray."
Mm-hmm.
I said, Lord, what is this going on? And then my ex-girlfriend had got herself in some kind of, she started playing with like cards and start all that kind of witchcraft stuff that people mm-hmm. think is innocent. And
it's not.
He was coming to, she was going to pay a debt. She had asked for something and now it's time to pay the debt. And that's the thing with the enemy. He'll give you what you want, but at that point, now he's going to come and get what he wants. And the
that's
enemy
right,
really wants
exactly.
your soul. So
right.
the little bit he gives you don't compare to what he's coming from.
Right.
So I say, what have you done? She told me what she done. I say, you know, he's finna come to take you to hell. That's what he's coming mm-hmm. to do, right here in front of me. And the Lord say, pray for her. And he said, just pray for her. I said, Lord, I don't really want to get in this mess, but since I'm here, I guess in it.
Yeah.
And he said, you cover. Your mama been praying for you. You should have been praying. I'm being just bluntly
yeah.
honest about this. And I prayed for her, and all of something like a wind came in the room,
mm-hmm.
like a vacuum. And the door is shut, and she calmed down.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time I really understood intercessory prayer. Now, it wasn't just like I was in those. No, this was in the natural.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the first time I really understood. I have a bunch of stories, but that was one of
yeah.
the first ones. So I don't
yeah.
know. I don't know if anybody's grappling with that. But.
Yeah. Does anyone else? I have a couple of stories, but does anyone else have a story?
The Lord tends to just put a face in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, now. And it's, my sense is, sometimes life and death matters at that moment. Because
mm-hmm.
it'll be in the middle of the night, get up,
mm-hmm.
now. Or they're making a critical decision.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, sometimes I don't even know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's get up and pray.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever, like, heard the end of the story?
Sometimes. Sometimes I never know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just get up and fight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes he just wants somebody who will.
Mm-hmm.
He'll just pick on somebody. He rings the doorbell.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go to the door.
Mm-hmm.
And think, oh my gosh, somebody's at the door at this hour. And I go to the door, and after, it took me a long time to realize he's just waking me up.
Uh-huh.
He rings the doorbell.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I never heard that.
Does anyone else have an intercession story?
Well, I end up having frequent episodes like Kathy's talking about, and that I'll see a face, I'll suddenly think of somebody, maybe somebody from my distant past, maybe
yeah.
somebody from church, maybe whatever, and it's just pray right now, wherever you are. Or I'll see somebody when I'm walking or I'm shopping or whatever, and I'll look at somebody and think, they look just like, and so it's pray for them right now.
Yeah.
Not that person, but who you got reminded of. And I seldom ever hear about any.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care. God,
yeah.
I'm doing what God told me to do right then, right there. And
yeah.
yes, it would be encouraging to hear, but I've decided he knows anyway, and I'd be encouraging him.
Yes. Yes.
Do you think that when we do go home, that we're going to see the fruit of our prayers from other people?
When we go home to heaven or when we... Oh, sure. I'm sure we will. Yeah.
But will it matter?
We probably won't
I think we'll be rejoicing, is what I think. I think we'll be rejoicing in that.
So it really doesn't care about the results as long as you're willing and obedient to pray.
Yeah.
Because the results may not. Don't expect the results, just be obedient.
Well, the thing is I think that you need to expect the results. I think that is part of your faith. Is expecting results. I'll tell you, I love the story of John Paul told the story once of how he was really sick in a hotel room, very, very sick, and he was asking the Lord, would you please send somebody to pray for me? And this little Mexican guy was kneeling next to his bed, and he was praying, and he looked at John Paul, and he said, where am I? He says, I asked the Lord to send me somebody to pray for me, and he sent me you. And so that to me was miraculous, and that
yeah.
was really, really cool. Yes.
I have a story. One day my niece came to me. She was going through some things about the kid did. out of her apartment and lose her son, custody of her son. And she came to my home and she knocked on the door and she said, "Auntie, I need you to pray with me or pray for me. Right now I need you to start praying." And I asked her what was going on. She said, "I'm about to lose my place, lose my son, and I might go to jail, but I didn't do anything." Mm. So she was going to walk away. And I said, no, come back. And I grabbed her and just held on to her and started praying for her. And I mean, really interceding. And my kids walked in the house and thought I was going crazy. I started praying, really, you know, not in me, but in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so she went home and went to court the next day. She didn't lose her place. She didn't get in trouble or lose her son. And she came back to me and fell on her knees and, you know, was like, "Please tell me the God that you know."
Wow, that's awesome.
She said, "Because I knew if I came to you, prayers would get answered."
Yeah.
You know,
awesome.
And it was really awesome. She cried out to the Lord and accepted him as her Savior.
That's awesome. That's an awesome testimony. You know, it's nice to share because whoever's watching, and even for us in this room, you know, it's encouraging to know that God listens. And I want to share something with you. I've had opportunity to go overseas, and I've seen some really interesting things, and I've been challenged sometimes in a really great way. This is one of my favorite stories. We were in Argentina and near a town called Rosario, and there was a river and they were in a drought. And the pastor came to my team and he asked us if we would go down to the river and pray that the Lord would send rain. So we did. We went down to the river and we prayed and we consecrated the waters with communion and we left. And we just, there was eight of us, and we just believed that God was going to answer our prayer. And it started raining. It started raining and raining, and it didn't stop until the morning. And in the morning, the pastor came on his like four-wheeler thing in the water because the streets were flooded. And he asked us, he says, "Karen, what did you do?" I said, "I just took your request before the Lord, and we believed that he would answer our request." And I have a picture of the water. The river overflowed and the water came up to the threshold of the house where we stayed. And I have pictures of it. So I know that whether it's personal or whether you're in the gap for somebody else, the request, the intercession, it can be small, it could be great, but God is able to answer whatever we ask him, I had a lady, I'm going to share another story. I was supposed to have open heart surgery during the time of the Brownsville Revival. I can't remember what year. I think it was like 2005 or something, or 6. And I went to the Brownsville Revival with a couple of friends of mine. And my surgery was scheduled for Monday morning, and we were there at Brownsville on Thursday. And I went into the prayer room, and this little lady that was bent over with really bad scoliosis, she looked up at me and she asked me what I needed, and I said, "I need a new heart." And she prayed for me. And ultimately what happened was I reported for surgery on Monday. And in the operating room, he felt to do another heart cath. And he kept looking around, looking around. I stayed awake, and I kept hearing him say, "I don't understand, I don't understand." So what actually happened was he said, "Karen, I can't open you up." He said, "Because your heart is absolutely perfect, and the scar tissue is that was on my heart was also gone." So it was that little lady's prayer. She knew me from nowhere. But yet, it was, you know, her faith and me joining with her faith, and God honored that. And I think that a good example, I think about the example in the Bible where the guys dropped their friends down through the roof, mm-hmm. their friend on the pallet down through the roof. And, you know, sometimes we have to go out on the limb and do that. And not, you know, whether we believe it's going to happen or not is not the point, you know, but to really, to intercede. So would you say, oh, I want to read this scripture. Isaiah 53, verse 12, if someone wants to read that.
Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
So in the Bible, this is the only scripture where you'll see Jesus connected with the word intercession. You won't find it anywhere else. So we know that he is the great intercessor. He is our advocate. And he was not self-serving at all. So when we intercede for people, it's not that we get something we want that makes us feel better or whatever. Okay, it's for the kingdom, for the purposes of God. So when we look at intercession, let's take a look at Daniel. This is what you would call the doctrine of intercession. So when he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed and gave thanks before God as he did before. So he was on purpose. So prayer is something that's on purpose, and though he did it 3 times a day because that was the custom, but for us we can do it anytime. So when we look at Daniel, in this scripture, it means, the word prayed means to bowing intensively, to bemoan and express deep grief, labored prayer, raised hands as if throwing. It even could be considered travail, which is what Nessie was talking about. She said, "I wasn't praying in myself, I was praying in the Lord." And in Moses, let's look at Moses also. He prayed for the people. Sometimes, like when Brad said, you know, you can see people, we can see what's wrong. We can see what's wrong. If we have the Spirit of God within us and we have discernment, we can see what's wrong. Anybody can see what's wrong. And sometimes it's even out of our own soul that we make assumptions and we see things that are wrong. Very hard, like you said, to step back and to look at it through the eyes of the Lord. And we see how Moses, I mean, can you imagine? I can't even imagine being Moses, being in the midst of a million people that were complaining. It's like, I just want to say, sit down and shut up, you know? But he couldn't do that. because he was, you know, he was appointed by the Lord.
Sometimes the workplace feels like you're vetting people.
Yeah. You know, but isn't that true? And so part of prayer is really guarding your heart, too. Guarding your heart against, you know, just our flesh and our emotions. So he interceded for his friend, for the people. So, okay, the last one is supplications. Do you guys, okay, well, I'm not going to ask.
I'll do it.
Are you getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, because I was like, wow, you're quiet. So supplication means to humbly beg for something. And I remember you were talking about that last week, about humbly begging. But I want to bring it into this perspective, scriptural perspective. Okay, so, yes, yeah, sometimes we might feel like we're begging God, but...
sometimes you just, that's really what it, where you are.
Yes, yes, and... It's like you have, and when you get to that place, it's like, I remember the scripture David said, he encouraged himself in the Lord. So when you find yourself that you're in this situation where you, it feels like hopeless and you're kind of, you're at this begging kind of place, it's important to kind of shake yourself up and encourage yourself in the Lord and look at your situation from a, you know, a heavenly perspective so that you can readjust the way you see what's happening. So let's look at supplication from what the Bible says about supplication. So I'm going to read from 1 Kings chapter 8, and it's the story of Solomon. See, in supplication, as in any kind of prayer, just like Solomon did, he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or in earth beneath, who keeps covenant and mercy with his servants that walk before thee with all their heart. So as in any kind of prayer, our eyes have to be up. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from above. You know, so I look up. So that's what he did. He looked up for himself, and he's reminding the Lord. That's one thing that the Lord says, remind me of my word. It says, who kept with thy servant David, my father, all that you promised him. So we, when we have supplications before the Lord, we look to him first, we remind him of what he said, and then we ask him, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spokest to my father David. So we're in supplication. We're looking at him. We're admonishing him, acknowledging his power, reminding him of what he said, and then saying, do it. You said you would do it. So we urgently and fervently implore, or we entreat the Lord. But see, Solomon knew who he was. He was a king, and he knew the scope of his dominion, and he knew the scope of his power.
Goes back to identity. Huh?
It goes back to identity, and it goes back to what Brad was talking about last week, and I was talking about last week. It's our identity, knowing who we are. So I want to read one more thing, and then I know we have to wrap it up. This scripture is about the lady from Canaan. I love this because this is a lot of how I think a lot of people feel this way. Matthew 15, 22 through 28. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs from which fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Just like Solomon, she knew who she was. She knew her position. And as born-again Christians, we come to the Father as a son, not a slave. We don't have to beg God in the sense we have no faith in him to perform his word. So we come to him in the sense that we say, we acknowledge who you are, we acknowledge what you said, and we expect you to do what you said. So, these three types of prayer, I hope that, you know, you can process it. If you want my notes, I can give you copies of my notes. But in all of it, we have to remember, you know, that the Lord, his purpose is for the kingdom to come. And however it comes is up to us. The way we express ourselves before others, the way people perceive us, do they perceive us as living epistles known and read by all men? Do they perceive us as lights shining? Like Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So are we doing what Jesus has asked us to do? If we live in this kingdom of light, then we should act like children of light, Ephesians 5:8. Walk as children of light, walk in the light. So when we have opportunity to pray for others, let us connect with the light and with the gold that's in them and with the desire that they have to connect with the Creator, the one who made them. So, okay, I'm done for today.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.